Welcome to Feats and Fables. We appreciate your company as we delve into our 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join the conversation on social media at Feats and Fables. Follow us to adventure.
Previously on Feats and Fables, our heroes collected treasures from a shipwreck outside Waterdeep Harbor. There, they met a malicious mermaid. Afterwards, the dragon agreed that she'd help them advertise their inn in return for some books that they found on the ship. The trip back to the dock is relatively uneventful. The late summer skies of Waterdeep are relatively clear at the moment. The weather is shifting. When you get to the dock, Smiling Sam is waiting on you. He's sitting on the top of the cab, smoking a pipe and reading one of the broadsheets that are famous throughout Waterdeep. When you come back up to the dock, he hustles you into the cab and continues his breakneck, ridiculous path through Waterdavian traffic all the way to the Tower of the Blackstaff. After probably 45 minutes of various waitings, checks, move-throughs, and having to pause for a demonstration of various pyrotechnics, you are shown into the Blackstaff's waiting room. She only makes you wait for a few minutes before teleporting into the room with an audible pop. She has frost on her cloak and riming the fur on the tips of her boots. And as you look at her, she stomps her feet and shakes herself to kind of get some of the snow off of her cloak and says, "I had just gotten word that you were back. What about the dragon?" The Blackstaff seems expectant. "What'd you find?"
"We found a dragon."
"I was aware of that bit."
"Yes."
She makes the international hand gesture for "and go on."
"And we have persuaded it to leave the city. It was unable to... It was unable to pierce the city's wards and was not a significant concern and was mostly curious. We were able to go down and explore a shipwreck to sate its curiosity and deliver it some treasure."
"What kind of dragon was it?"
"I believe it was a bronze dragon. I'm sorry, it's been a while since school and identification of dragons, but it was a metallic shade."
"Oh, well, that's less of a problem, though certainly the metallic dragons are not shy about manipulating humans into whatever far-reaching plans they might have."
"Yes, like exploring shipwrecks and finding a bunch of copper coins."
"You got suckered into that?"
"Well, when the Blackstaff says, 'Hey, go find out what the dragon wants and get rid of it if at all possible,' and the dragon says, 'Hey, I want to explore the shipwreck,' then you get the dragon the copper coins, I hear."
She chuckles at that. "Well, all right. I'm glad to hear that it won't be a problem. Did it tell you a name? Surely not its actual name, but..."
"The name that we were given was Xelophon."
"Xelophon. I'll put some of my sages onto that to see if there's any records of a Xelophon. We might have to send out to Candlekeep for that." "Well," she turns to face
also,
the rest of the group.
"That we encountered a sea hag in the waters near her."
"Sea hag?"
"Yes."
"We haven't had those around in a long time."
"It was at first masquerading as a mermaid."
"Oh, there's no mermaids near here. Dead giveaway, it's a sea hag."
"Well, I did not realize that. We were surprised that we saw a mermaid, as was the captain who joined us. But then when the dragon arrived, it got all arched back at it, and it transformed into its proper shape and taunted us before descending into the water again."
I think her octopus entourage sort of hinted at something more nefarious."
"Yes.
It was nothing the Scarecrow Smashing Lads couldn't handle, though."
"You got to stop calling us that,
The man. Who?
This discussion we can have later. However, the dragon was sated with what we pulled from the wreckage, and we were able to enact a contract with it that it will stay outside of the city, but will fly around the bay to provide advertising services for a tavern that you should really come to when it opens.
You're serious?
Of course.
You tricked a dragon into that.
It's not a trick. It was an agreement.
Right. What'd you have to give it for that?
The contents of a sunken ship. Remember those copper coins we talked about?
Oh, it did this for copper coins?
There were some books as well, I believe.
Books. A dragon who likes books.
Don't they all? Knowledge is power.
Not all of them, no. But a dragon interested in books implies someone that we can deal with on a rational level. Nicely done. I will have my folks see you out. I have a matter elsewhere that I am dealing with that is of somewhat urgent nature. I am deeply grateful. If you have any way I can return that favor to you, please call upon me or call upon some of my staff who will see that the message gets to me.
Of course, thank you.
Thank you very much, Blackstaff.
Thank you, yes.
I mean, we are about to have a grand opening of an inn. It would go far to have the Blackstaff show up on a...
He was listing things we're not going to waste our favor on. And that was the first one.
Like a good beer as much as the next woman. Where's this inn?
Trollskull Alley.
Trollskull Alley?
Yes.
We're haunted.
Haunted.
It's a spiritual experience.
She looks at Corbin, looks back at Zasper, looks at Corbin, and then you can see on her face that she decides not to ask a question.
Well, we know it's haunted because our Kellenvorite can verify that it's a true haunting.
It's sort of a happy haunting, really. It's all very light. And
for ghosts, it is often better to get them, to help them pass on. If you destroy their physical form, they'll just return. We believe, based on everything we've learned, that getting the inn up and running is going to help the spirit pass on. His focus in his life was on the inn itself. We're hopeful that once we get the inn up and running to a proper level, he will see it as his inn return to life and pass on gracefully.
Think of it as therapy for phantasms.
You know, I haven't met many disciples of Kellenvor that weren't of the smite first and ask questions later stripe.
Normally I am, but in a city it is better if you remove the spirit in a long-term effect as opposed to a short-term effect. If you destroy the body, it'll just eventually return. It might be days, it might be weeks, it might be years, but it's just a matter of time.
And you found this to be more effective, actually.
It's more effective in the long term, for sure. So in a city like this, Kellenvorites tend to take a longer-term responsibility for spirits like this because everyone's going to be here for a while. If you're in the Netherlands, it matters less.
All well, flooding.
That is a viewpoint I strongly admire.
Plus, he serves drinks. Sometimes.
And drinks that they won't disappoint, either.
Mm-hmm. Trollskull Alley. I don't know where that is offhand, but I'm sure I'll have no problem finding it. When do you open? What's the name of your establishment?
We're still working on all that TBD.
We'll be sure to send you an official invitation.
Excellent. Well, best of luck with your inn. She seems a little bemused as to why a bunch of adventurers are opening an inn. She's also not asking that question. She gives Khafra a nod, and there's another pop of air as she teleports out.
Well, that was efficient.
You know, Khafra, it would probably raise our rep if you could start transporting us like that.
Oh, let me get right on that, Zasper.
Is she even able to take others with her?
Should we just wait here then, or...?
I'll see you down at the carriage.
Walk down to the carriage. Okay.
You know, friends, as we go back to our inn, the Blackstaff raised a good point. We're going to have to give it a name. I mean, sure, Scarecrow Smashing Lads is great for our adventuring party, but it's not much for an inn front.
Whatever happened to the... You had another name for us. What was it? Like a hotelier consortium or something?
Well, that's us when we're running the inn. The Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium, but eventually we'll probably have several inns under that aegis.
Well, I think we should call the inn the Glorium Kellenbor.
I'm sure that'll bring a very exciting crowd to our door.
Or not.
And we also, would serve justice.
What does one of those...
Ooh, serve around? Justice, I like it.
Wouldn't one of them smite our...
Staff?
Staff?
Oh, that's a good point.
Though,
okay.
Among those that go to the City of the Dead would certainly... Shit, I had something for this.
So are the Kelmvor known for being big spenders who enjoy hospitality and fine dining?
Well, that's a good point. We definitely need something to attract the top-notch clientele. We don't want to be like one of those run-down inns.
Yes, we need a very clean, catchy name.
I think we should name it after the beer that we're going to serve. It's going to be delicious.
What's that again?
No.
The Rockshade? Rockshade Bed. No, the Rockshade... Nope, I got nothing.
But didn't you name that beer because you discovered it in the desert?
Shadow.
We're not in a desert.
We could be desert themed.
Why would we be desert themed?
We could be the Oasis.
To make us stand out from all these other blandly named Iron Hook and
we do want to stand out. What's our selling point besides excellent bardic entertainment?
Well, we've got a ghost.
We have that still thing.
That's true. We do have a ghost.
Wait, did we actually get the still?
I thought we were getting a still. I thought that was going to be what was in the window.
Yeah, I think it's still a good idea.
I don't know that we've exactly determined what's going in that raised area by the windows.
I thought it was
going
to be a stage over which would be a still.
A suspended still.
That would actually be quite precise. Inspiration for that pun.
That would be pretty good. I kind of like that idea. So we've got a ghost and we've got a still. So... Now I've got nothing for this, then.
The distilled ghost?
The drunk ghost?
Something about an angel share.
The hungry ghost? No, that's
ooh,
terrible.
The hungry ghost. We have a buffet. We can come in and...
Sure, but it doesn't invoke the right feeling.
What's the feeling we're going for here?
The spooky sandwich?
Ooh,
the
Doesn't hurt. I mean, that does a great thing for the food, but what about the inside of things? Ooh, what about something like the Sleeping Spirits?
That sounds too
I don't like
boring.
Sleeping.
It's alliterative. Everybody likes alliteration.
What if we just cut it off there? What if we just made this, not the, what? Spirits.
Spirits.
A single word.
Spirits what?
Spirits. Like cheers.
You mean like Spirits Kelmvorite or something like that? Where's the second and third word?
No, I think he's got something. It's very very posh to have a single name.
Posh?
Yeah, like Waterdeep. It's not the Waterdeep of the Crumbled Dragon. It's just Waterdeep.
No, I think Waterdeep actually has a really long name that no one uses.
Or like the Xanathar. Bam. Ooh. One word.
But we're not a secret organization. This is a place for wine and spirits. You have to be the Drunken Barrel down there. See, that's a good solid... three-word name.
But we can't use that one. It's already taken.
It is. I'm saying...
Not no, if but it burns if we, down.
But no one else... we'll call her in the spirits because no one thinks of, no one would think of that. We'll be unique.
Unique.
Unique is always valuable.
Is it?
Always.
I mean, we're already... It's going to save a lot of money on advertising. Think about the sign. If it's just one word on that dragon's tail, it'll be much bigger and easier to read.
Yes, think of the font sizes.
No. Well, despite your motivation being font-related, I think Spirits is a fantastic name.
Indeed, it's a font of inspiration I've got going on here.
I'm not really sure this is going to take off, but it is certainly brief, and I do like things that are bigger, so... So that's I'm not entirely opposed to it, even though it really breaks the mold. People will think it's something else entirely.
Spirits.
Like a secret organization or...
Well, they'll come to see it. They'll have to know what it is. They'll have to come find out.
Everyone will want to see the spirits.
Maybe they'll want to join the secret organization. And little do they know, it's a pay-to-enter secret organization where they have to pay each time.
And then also buy food and drink.
Yes.
So we'll have a cover charge to join the secret organization that is a buyer's club.
Well, by coincidence, when we have the cover charge, there'll also be a good act going.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Or it just confuse people further by calling it Untitled.
No, I definitely like Spirits more than Untitled. If we're going to go with one word titles, Spirits, I think, is definitely the way to go.
Well, I guess all we got to do now is run it by Lif.
That's true.
Well, you know, hire staff and finish repairing and set up the kitchen and actually get that steel going.
How are we going to hang this?
I thought we had plenty of time to
do
that.
Yeah, we got lots of time.
There's no
rush. Yeah, it should be fine. I mean, we hired Laraxis, so we've got a backup mediocre bard.
We're making good progress.
And really, hiring the wrong person is far worse than taking a good amount of time to hire the right person.
When you get to the carriage, you see Smilin' Sam sitting on top of the carriage, smoking his pipe still, and he's making these huge hand gestures as he's describing something, and it looks like he's flapping his arms up and down and then kind of like punching one of his hands down as he's telling a very expressive story to a small man. I mean, he's short, is what I'm saying, but just over 5 feet. Human man, who has kind of fuzzy white hair and dark brown skin, and the man is rapidly taking notes in a small notebook that he has in his hands and nodding attentively as he's listening.
Do we recognize the man?
I don't think any of you do, but you could make me, I don't know, maybe a history check to see. He's not entirely unknown in Waterdeep.
I declare 22.
11.
Anybody else want to play that game?
I mean, I had 11.
I just moved into the area. I'm not familiar with the...
Malagar just looks at the man and says, what are you, a reporter?
He says, yes, yes I am. My name is Gaxley Rudderbust. You know Gaxley Rudderbust, Kafra, as the editor, typographer, photographer, layout specialist, printer, publisher, proofreader, opinion columnist, agony aunt, and only reporter of the Waterdeep Wazoo, which is a modestly successful broadsheet in Waterdeep.
Well, if that's the case, then you should be aware that the proprietors of Spirits down in Trollskull Alley have just saved the city from a dragon.
Well, that's kind of what Sam was telling me here. He's one of my best sources. He says that not only did you save the city from a marauding red dragon, but that you also held off a cadre of sea hags and their octopoid minions.
Yes, except one detail. It was a bronze dragon.
Sam is, like, behind him making all these gestures, like...
Well, it's all on a day's work for the Scarecrow Smashing Lads.
You've got to stop calling us that.
Yeah, I'm
the
really
Scarecrow
opposed
Smashing
to that.
Lads.
The who?
No. The proprietors of Spirits. Down in Trollskull Alley.
There's no inn on Trollskull Alley.
There will be soon.
Oh, all right. The last one burned down a long time ago. Did it burn down? It went out of business a long time ago.
I'm sure it did. But I'm sure anyone who's interested in both fine spirits, food, and lodging, and interested in hearing the stories of Daring Do saving the city from dragons would be most interested in coming there.
Yes, we, the Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium, are resurrecting the Inn Spirits.
Resurrecting! I see what you did there. He scribbles some stuff in there. He's like, Sam, you seem to really think it was a red dragon. Sam was like, well, I was a bit away. There was the sun. It was a little hard to see. You said it was what color?
Bronze.
Those aren't the mean ones, are they?
Well, they can be if they want to be.
I suppose. All right. Well, the Scarecrow Smashing Bads, Trolls, Bane Hoteliers Association, Spirits Inn and Tavern, I take it?
Yes. Inn and Tavern.
Ah, all right. I'll note that for the Waterdeep Wazoo. You'll have to buy plenty of copies. You should check it with the Papermakers Guild as well as the Newsmongers Guild. We can set up a small box out front with a collection box where you can actually sell the Waterdeep Wazoo there.
Yes.
And cut you a generous break on your advertising.
And don't tell anybody, but on opening day, we're going to have a surprise act. one that will knock people's socks off. Yes, but again, please, don't spread it around or anything.
Scratches his chin. Of course, you can rely upon my discretion.
Thank you, we appreciate that.
Excellent. Well, news fine. Thank you, Sam.
Good afternoon.
Sam, kind of says, boy, man. And he's kind of like a small, kind of brownish fella, and he bustles off into the traffic.
Malagar. Yes. I don't think he's going to keep the surprise show you have under his hat, as it were.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Well, that'd be most unfortunate then. Then everyone just have to find out about our surprise act. That no one will sort of overlay their own impressions upon. And surely there won't be any lines around the block for our establishment.
What exactly is the surprise act we're going to be doing, Malagar?
Let's talk about that not in the streets.
Sam's like, yeah, get in. I sometimes sell that guy news, and yeah. I had a bigger story coming before you guys.
He's a friend of yours?
A friend is overstating the relationship. He
an acquaintance is, of yours?
Yes, who can occasionally pay me for information.
You seem like someone who's very good at spinning a tale to the press.
I have been known to be on the wrong end of a fact check or two with the Waterdeep Wazoo.
Well, we'll have to talk about this more once Spirits on Troll's Skull Lane opens up.
So we have a name.
Yes.
Finally. Do you have a logo?
No, we have to apparently approach the logo in logo ears, gills.
Yes.
I hear they're famously hard to deal with.
They can be.
Well, then...
They're also not going to like to have an... Oh, I mean, what's the other part of the name?
That's what I asked. What is the other part of the name?
There is no other part of the name. It's unique.
See?
It's succinct. Spirits succinct.
No, you don't need the second name.
Oh, I thought that's what you meant before when you said succinct. That was...
Second spirit?
Does it have an apostrophe? He shuffles y'all into the... coach, so you can have this.
Of course it has an apostrophe.
How could you not have an apostrophe? Yes.
Well, like in the beginning, like it's short for something.
No, maybe it's possessive of the spirit.
Oh.
No, spirits are usually the ones that do the possessive.
Oh!
I give myself a point of inspiration for that.
So as Sam gets back up onto the top of the carriage to drive us away, did Sam just use the pronoun we? Is he now involved in this?
I'm not saying that we aren't going to be hiring Sam to do publicity for spirits, but I'm saying the man has a gift.
It's fire.
I mean, he's a member of the community. I mean, he's not a founding member of the Scarecrow Smashing Lads.
Would you please stop saying that?
He's also done more to drum up business for our thus far money pit of an operation than anything other than maybe a dragon flying overhead with the name of our establishment upon it.
Hey, the Blackstaff is going to show up at our establishment. Nice. Thank you.
Oh God, that's going to be a good time, isn't it?
It's going to be great, right?
Maybe we can learn phonics and...
Yes,
ERPs. Having...
No, I know women like that. We get beer in her and she is going to let loose.
Yes, I think it'd be great if the most powerful mage in the city let loose in our small establishment made of wood.
That's where all the fun comes in.
Also, do you really know women like that?
Define fun.
And people like to go and patronize the same establishment as the head of the not-so-secret police. You can really unwind in their presence.
Wait, there's a secret police here.
It's a not-so-secret police led by the Blackstaff.
You remember, I've only been in town for like a few weeks at most.
You have personally met the Blackstaff. Just now. Twice.
So by meeting someone, I can know if they're in charge of a secret police organization?
Wait, really? Like, you really don't... Is that...
No. There's no secret police in this town.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. It's all right. I'm not saying that...
Sam leans back. Gray Hands aren't really like secret police. They're pretty open police, and they don't actually police. They're more worried about outside threats.
Well, what about the Blackstaff?
More worried about outside threats. Okay. Supposed to be anyway.
So then they're neither secret nor police. So everything that you have just said to me is
factually based in falsehoods.
But did you learn something?
I don't know.
If you want secret police, that'd be more like Laryl Silverhand's alliance with the Lord's Alliance.
Anyways, back to the hotel, please.
All right. So he takes you in kind of a rapid slingshot maneuver through one of the main streets of Waterdeep and takes a shortcut past the City of the Dead, rounds past an Ilmatari prayer march, and gets you to Trollskull Alley more or less in good shape and not shaken around too much. The building is still standing.
Well, we have a name. We have some work to do. I'll have to go back to work tomorrow at this point. So that the office is practically closed. And from there, I will be wishing you all the best with everything, the repairs that you're doing. I'll go ahead and make sure that the proper paperwork is put in, though, for the actual name.
How do you balance life and work and adventuring?
Poorly so far.
Well, at least we have a lot of time to get all these repairs done.
I know. That's true. Our calendar is just wide open.
I was going to put out some feelers for some help today, but it's so late.
Let's look at these carpet swatches.
I'll do it tomorrow.
And I need to go start looking into getting the still hung from the ceiling now, apparently.
Oh, with all the shiny copper work, it's going to be glorious.
It will be.
I'm going to charge that to the inn, right?
So when you get to the inn, like I said, it's still standing. The ginger house cat that has been super mean to everyone, Doyle, is sitting on the front porch looking pissed off. All of his 0.7 ears are laid back against the side of his head. Coming from somewhere around the alley, past where the Trollskull Alley Inn is, you hear kind of singing and you hear a tapping rhythmic foot noise, like you hear dancing. The singing is in a halfling tongue, which I don't think any of you speak. You do?
I do.
Okay. It is a halfling song about cheese and the wonders of cheese and the different types of cheese, but it's done as kind of it's like a fast dancing song. And you hear a kind of a chorus of halfling voices with it.
And this is coming from behind?
Yeah, so the inn kind of sticks out and the alley continues on, so it's somewhere past the Bent Nail and the rest of the alley.
But that's like down, the Bent Nail is at the far end of the alley, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so it's kind of on the tip end of it.
I'm interested in singing. Zasper will go check it out.
Sure. So when you head around, you see a group of four halflings. Looks like two adults and two older juveniles, like teenagers, maybe older than teenager, are dancing in an extremely expert fashion in the middle of the alley. The sun is nice, there's a pretty breeze, and you see the water genasi and the fire genasi are standing out there kind of clapping them on, as are a few other people.
I will observe.
Okay. The dancing looks not just amateur, but professional in quality. So these halflings know what they're doing. And like I said, there's a small crowd of maybe a half dozen people out here just kind of watching them. It looks like kind of afternoon entertainment. There's an elderly human woman. There's a sea elf in like a tall white poofy chef's hat. And food-stained apron.
I'll walk over to the blacksmith that I made the acquaintance of earlier.
Which I think was Imbrick, it was Adi, the water water genasi.
The dancers are pretty good. Do they do this often?
Yeah, that's the Bigoli family. They live a couple houses down. They teach dance.
They teach dance?
Mm-hmm. It's a small dance school. It's their private home, but they teach dance lessons out of it.
Well, that's interesting.
You're pretty new to the neighborhood. Let me point some folks out. That's Ordesca Zimli. He points to an older woman who's sitting on the stoop of her house. She's a retired bureaucrat. Those ladies over there are Orlin and Vonzetta Dasilath. I think they're ladies' servants for some of the wealthy Northward families. They live in that building over there, and he points to one of the other townhouses on the alley.
Oh, well, it's good to... I won't bother them now when they're engrossed in the halfling dance. But it'll be good to make their acquaintance.
Yeah.
You might be interested to know that my friends and I have come up with a name for our inn.
Excellent.
Yes. We are calling it Spirits.
Spirits what?
Spirits. It's succinct.
The succinct spirits?
No. That tricked me too. Succinct just means
one word. No, I know what succinct means.
Yes. Oh, well then you're one step ahead of the game.
I just don't know why it doesn't have two names.
There's something about fonts.
Fonts.
Yes.
But regardless, we're going to have a fountain?
You know, well, we don't have space for a fountain. We're going to have...
But I don't understand what a font has. Like, it's a sign with a font on it?
Well, font is... it's like when you write words down.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Like the lettering?
The lettering, yes. One of
the
our...
The water genasi.
One of my companions is a professional scrivener.
Cocked to the side like a confused terrier.
We all love the name. We think it... It doesn't have legs, of course, being a spirit, but...
No, it has kind of like one of those insubstantial twirly things on the bottom, I think.
So yeah, you can tell people, I mean, you know, who knows when we'll actually open, but we've got a name now.
No, okay.
For official paperwork. And
I thought you guys were going to sell that place.
Well, no one really wanted to buy it, so we're just going to run it.
Oh no, this halfling guy, kind of sourpuss. That's opening the brewery a little ways up from the inn on Delzorn Street. I think it's Delzorn Street. Says that that you guys were going to sell to him.
Why would he say that?
I don't know. I assumed because you guys were going to sell to him.
How could we have sold it before we even had a name?
I'm a smith. I don't know how your business works.
Is he related to these very nice dancing halflings?
The Bigolis?
Yeah.
No, they're from Aglarum.
Okay, that's good. Because I'm starting... These guys are worming to me. And this other guy that makes stuff up behind our back, is he aware that we're all, like, semi-retired adventurers?
I don't know him okay. That well. His name was Frown.
Because we're not all scriveners. And when you make up things behind our back, it kind of makes us a little...
No, his name wasn't Frown. But it sounded a little bit like Frown. I'm terrible with names.
Well, if you want to know anything about our business, just come by and, you know... Maybe we'll have some samples of brew or some such.
Oh, okay.
If you just want to hang out.
I appreciate a fine wine.
Wine. We'll probably have some wine. I don't think it's going to be our focus. But things are still in flex. And if you know anyone that you know is good at working at an inn, we're kind of putting out feelers.
All right. Well, I'll pass the word around.
Is there a hat?
A what?
A hat in front of the dancing halflings?
No.
All right, well then, I'll just play it cool and wander off.
I was about to say, there are several people around here wearing hats.
Yes. Well, Zasper himself has quite the chapeau on.
He does.
But,
It's when Zasper just starts, or that's when,
So upon returning to the inn, I don't know who's sticking around.
Corbin's still there. He's in the midst of doing some repairs. Like he's gathering some supplies, about to take them upstairs to start doing some repairs.
So there's some halflings that dance in the area. It might be pretty easy to get some, you know, some soft acts rotating in and out, which would be nice. And the neighborhood seems really well knit. I was talking to the blacksmiths, and they're interested. Apparently, there's another inn owner that says we were going to sell. Manny, did you try and sell our inn to someone?
I'll poke my head out from the kitchen and say, I don't think so, but I mean, it's hard to say what I do sometimes.
There was a person who was here looking to buy the inn, and I told him to blow off functionally.
All right, well, I think...
I wonder why they're saying
they're
going to buy
it. They might have misinterpreted what you said.
It seems very unlikely. I told him to go away. We weren't selling. I was pretty direct.
That does seem pretty straightforward.
as really only a paladin can be.
All right.
Maybe he was planning on making us an offer that we couldn't refuse.
Well, I think I've straightened it out with the blacksmith fellow.
Maybe he's going to offer us a lot of money. I did ask him how many plate mails worth of money values he was offering us, and he said zero, and I was like, well, that's not going to work. I was looking for 5 or 6 plate mails, probably.
I mean, for a plate mail piece, we probably could... Yeah, I could see that.
Right.
All right.
Watch what I want with a bunch of plate mail.
We could sell it for 1,000 gold.
But
and buy an inn.
That's fair. That's fair. I could do that.
Yes. But, hey, have you ran the name by...
Lif.
Lif yet?
No, I haven't seen any sign of him since we've gotten back.
Yeah.
I'll write it here on the dust on the bar.
Yes.
We're really going to need to, like, set up, like, a chalkboard or something that is always dusty so he can always write. Because eventually there won't be dust on the bar when we clean it off once the construction is done.
That's true.
Maybe a little Zen garden.
So Malagar will write spirits... with an S, spirits, spirit apostrophe S, and then spirits with an apostrophe afterwards.
Writing apostrophe spirits as well?
Yes, why not?
Fair enough.
All 4 versions will be offered to Lif.
Okay.
It's going to be great when Lif just writes, what else? Second word.
Where's the rest of the name?
Yeah, I think we really get people talking, because I told the man that our inn was going to be named Spirits, and he wanted to know what the rest of it was. And
yes.
I said it was succinct, and that confused him, even though he knew what it meant.
Surely so, everyone will come to hear what the rest of the name is.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a conversation starter.
Kafra, I think you might be onto something with this single name.
This is going to be your surprise act, right? We're going to unveil the other part of the name.
Ooh.
It'll be under a sheet over in the corner.
After you've been at the bar a little while, Larexus strolls back in with a double handful of sacks of cleaning supplies, basically. Rags, fluids, whatever. She says, oh, I'm so glad you're back. A whole fleet of halflings came by here earlier looking for jobs. They heard that the inn was opening, and I told them that I was not the hiring manager at this point, and that they could come talk to the bosses... sometime around dinner, so you should expect them anytime. I mean, halfling's dinner, I didn't specify appetizers, cocktails.
Second dinner, I say, from the kitchen.
Yes, but somewhere around sunset.
That is good to know, because we are hiring at some point. I mean, we got to nail job titles down.
Yes, I have another list for us to look at.
Yes. Basically, a lot of it will just be we'll sit them down with Malagar and see if they can take it.
What?
Take the strictures of the job.
I'm not comfortable
no.
with any of this.
We've proven that this is a great hiring process.
I'm going to go upstairs and do some repairs then.
Did you mean that a different way than I thought you meant it, Malagar?
How long have we been adventuring together?
So when Corbin goes upstairs, you're walking upstairs with, you know, pack of whatever on your shoulder, and you notice a small hole chewed through the baseboard on the stairs as you're walking upstairs.
I examine it.
Looks like something has chewed a hole, maybe, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 inches across. And it's actually like chewed through the wallpaper and the plaster and the...
What are we even paying this calf for? I go back downstairs. Looks like we might have a mouse problem.
How can we have a mouse problem? We have a cat and a ghost.
Yes.
I know, it's crazy. I guess we need to fire our current cat and hire a new one.
Are you sure it was a mouse?
I mean, it made a hole in the baseboard about mouse size.
Well, lots of things can do that. Did you see any active scat?
Well, I mean...
Okay, so I will admit, I am not a mouse expert.
I mean, are you going to go hunt this for us, Malagar?
I was just curious if it...
Okay.
All right, Malagar, follow me, I'll show you.
And I could set up some traps and some poisons if you want.
So you will recall Doyle was sitting on the front porch looking pissed off earlier.
Oh. Well. I wonder what his deal was.
I take you upstairs to show you the hole. Presumably for a mouse.
I will peek inside the hole.
Make me a what kind of hole is this check?
Be a 10. Survival.
Okay, so this is actually not a mouse hole. It's too large. It is a rat hole.
Aha, see?
And it is definitely fresh.
A rat hole.
That's not better.
Yeah, I've seen.
I actually didn't know that rats made holes like this, but yes, rats.
Okay. Malagar, what are we going to do about our rat situation?
Well, we could probably use a larger cat. Maybe, I don't know. What's a larger feline species that's common around here? A lynx? A bobcat? Ooh.
Is that how that works?
Yes, you just bring a larger predator in.
Then after the bobcat takes over, then we'll have to bring in, like...
A displacer beast.
A displacer beast to fight off the bobcat, and then...
Eventually, yes.
And then we'll actually bring in some heroes to fight off the displacer beast.
Listen, I don't really do residential pest control.
Eventually, you'll have tarasks there, and you just have to leave.
That's a shame.
I work more with ecologies, so I don't know what your complaint is here.
I'd like there not to be rats in the inn.
Oh, I see. Well, perhaps we could station a child with a crossbow.
I'm going to let you handle it, and I continue walking upstairs.
All right. Yeah, add that to the job list, child with crossbow.
Somewhere around sunset, you hear a chorus of knocks on the front door. Larexus heads to the door and says, hey, boss, the halflings are here. It's not immediately clear to whom she is referring to when she says boss.
I head downstairs.
Whoever answers the call.
Zesper will be at the bar, keeping an eye on the amusing situation that unfolds.
We're still going down our potential staffing list as well, and coming up with some basic hiring policies and a draft of the employee manual.
This is still
I don't know if
night.
We need to hire 13 waiters. That seems like a lot.
30.
That seems like a lot.
What would they have to rotate on the schedule? And we can't let any of them go over part-time, otherwise we'll have to give them benefits.
I answer the door.
All right, you see a group of four halflings, two gentleman halflings and two lady halflings. And one of them steps forward and says, hi, I heard that you might have work here.
We are in the process of repairing the inn, and we will definitely have work once we open, for sure.
Well, I'm Kelso.
Come inside, please.
This is Dasher. And then he gestures to the two lady halflings. This is Danica and Bryn. And we heard there might be jobs in food service, and if there's anything halflings know, it's food service.
Well, why don't you come inside?
All right. They come inside and kind of look around and murmur to each other. It's like, ooh, this is all sized for big folk, but don't worry, we're used to getting around in big folk areas.
So what are your specific skills?
The halflings kind of look at each other like you've asked them a weird question. Well, we're halflings. We know food service. I mean, we can cook, we can clean, we can wait tables. The one named Bryn, who's kind of the shortest of the four, says, and I'm a pretty good pastry chef.
Malagar will put down his pencil and come around the bar. Hello. Can you tell us, perhaps, where else you've worked in town?
They list off a series of different bars. It looks like it's been a mix of working in inns and taverns with a few stints working for various kind of lower upper class or maybe higher middle class families.
Well, that's not bad at all. Here, take this stack of forms, and you'll have to go and get a few recommendations from your previous employers, and we'll speak to you next week, perhaps? Yes? There'll be enough time?
Oh, you're not opening sooner than that?
No, I don't believe so. We still have quite a long list of things that we need to do.
And the rat situation to take care of.
I thought we were going to advertise that one.
I would like to have an insight check from anybody who feels like making one.
An insight check. 21 from the bar.
20.
I'm going to retire that.
I'm not in the room. I'm not making an insight check.
Fair enough.
It's like a 7.
When you mentioned the rat problem, Corbin and Zasper, you notice kind of a look pass between the quartet of halflings. It's a look that kind of, like, you look at that look and it's like, that's odd. That is not the reaction that should have happened.
Have you?
It's almost knowing.
Encountered rat problems at other places you've worked?
Oh, no. The immediate chorus of negative. No, no, not me. Never. Nope. Never seen them. No, no. Well, one of them had, and then they got a cat, and then it went wrong. So it's an immediate chorus of overlapping negatives.
How did it come about that all four of you are looking for work at the same time?
Oh, well, word travels, you know. Big grin
from right. Danica. But you're all, like, related or whatever.
Well, I mean, we're cousins.
Yeah.
So about the rat situation, you seem to have shared a look when I mentioned that. Is there a specific reason?
No reason whatsoever. No reason whatsoever.
I don't think it's wise to lie to a future employer during an interview, do you?
They're halflings. They all kind of shrink back a bit from rather looming paladin Delvor. No, sir.
So you were saying?
Do you eat rats?
Like, immediate looks of disgust. Ooh, yuck, rat would be terrible. No, they're vermin. Yeah, vermin.
All right, well, come back with your forms that Malagar gave you and we'll...
Listen, Malagar is going to come down to the level where he's looking the halflings directly in the eye at their level.
Any excuse to contort your body in weird ways?
Perhaps in a way that ticks off the uncanny valley a little bit. If there's something that you know, that we should know, then you should tell us now. This goes beyond a promise of future employment.
So is this an intimidate check that I'm hearing?
Yes, because Malaga is going to show all of his teeth.
You may do so with advantage.
Okay. So that's a 23.
The halflings shriek in terror in quadraphonic sound and go scampering out of the room. As they go to scamper out of the room, their forms melt, morph, and shift to something more quadrupedal with kind of large ears and long snouts and long naked tails behind them, and they go slamming towards the front door to escape.
What the bloody hell is going on out
Man,
there?
Man, they should have led with that.
Wait.
Charge after the were-creatures?
Let's roll initiative. The were-rats start falling all over themselves, trying to escape the bar. Zasper feels like he can react to this situation. What would you like to do?
There's were-rats in our bar! And then Zasper will cough out a short arcane sequence, which in theory will cause them to go to sleep.
Let's find out.
17 hit points worth of creatures.
That's pretty good. All right, the one in front of you, her eyes roll back in her head and she slumps to the floor.
Then Zasper will move to stand over her, pulling his rapier. And that is it.
Manny's gonna put down the cabinet that he's trying to fix and walk out from behind the kitchen into the, like, rear bar area. Zasper, what in bloody hell are you screaming about out here? What's going on with this nonsense? And that's kind of going to be my turn.
Yep, it's kind of a long walk.
I'm going to try and assess the heck is happening out here.
So you see a rat-like creature snoozing on the ground between Zasper's feet as he heroically stands facing off a horde of three other creatures that look panicked, terrified, and like they're running for their lives.
So are they like full-on rat, or are they like hybrid rat?
Hybrid rat. They're still weird. Definitely halflings, but their features have become rather rodent-like. They have long naked tails behind them, but they still have like halfling-like hands. They have their faces and an wholly unlikable mix of rodent and halfling features.
Cool. I'm going to spend the rest of my turn looking for a mug to start throwing at them.
Noted. You have a selection of several sample mugs from test dishware sets that Malagar had delivered so you could pick China for the bar. So they're
excellent.
All very expensive top-end samples, but you only have one of each.
I'm going to look for the heaviest one first.
Okay, it's dark brown, kind of squarish, and has a brilliant green interior. Mm, they're lovely.
Fancy.
Okay, so at that point in time, the poor, panicking, highly intimidated were-rats continue to freak out. So, the one standing near Zasper heads to the door and opens it. Would you like to take an attack of opportunity as it runs away?
I will. Zasper, I mean, it's a small creature. Zasper will whip his boot out and attempt to knock it prone.
Okay, do that thing.
?13 AC?
Absolutely hits. The southbound end of a northbound were-rat.
Then I think we do opposed athletics checks.
Sure.
I roll athletics and then you defend.
I am not particularly strong.
With athletics or acrobatics, I believe.
Yeah. Yes.
16.
You have scruffed a were-rat.
All right. I slam my relatively workmanlike boot down on its tail, so now I've got two of them pinned.
All right, the were-rat runs to the full extent of its tail and then squeaks and kneeks in pain and terror as it realizes, or as she realizes you have her claw. The next one takes advantage of the fact that you have no more reactions. It runs over the door, opens it. This one runs over the door and runs out the door, kneek, kneek, kneeking into the night. Apparently, there is no honor among were-rats. In fact, how about now? Now that they've gone, maybe Malagar could do something about it.
So I can't see the one that ran out, the were-rat that ran out.
Correct.
So Malagar will draw his rapier and go and designate the one that's still at the door as his quarry, as Mark.
Okay.
And then go and basically attempt to give it a cuff on the back of the head using the pommel of his rapier.
Okay. When you get to the door, you see that Doyle the cat is on the other side of the door looking more pissed off than ever before. All 0.7 of Doyle's ears are laid straight back against his head and he is hissing for all he's worth at that were-rat.
Well, it is understandable, and perhaps Doyle's at least providing some flank for me now, so.
Not in this edition, sir. I will give you advantage on the attack roll because he's distracted by the cat.
Well, we have a lot to discuss, I'll say to the were-rat that's attempting to escape out the door. And I'll probably connect with a 17.
Yes. Yes, you will.
Okay, it'll enjoy 11 points of cuffing damage.
Okay. All right, it has been thoroughly cuffed. However, you notice that the bruise and like egg welt you'd left on its head like immediately sink back into its body.
Quite the rat.
Quite the rat. All right, so that was Malagar. Khafra, you have noticed there's quite the disturbance going on downstairs. You are not going to get enough sleep. Your long rest has been interrupted.
I didn't think it was late enough to start long resting, but good to know.
Well, whatever.
So Khafra will loudly sigh that his me time has been interrupted, remove the cucumber slices from his eyes, and walk over to the edge of the turret that is his room and go up on the balcony and look down and see someone running off into the night, but having very little context for anything that's going on other than some kind of scrum, he will then lean back and grab out a handful of rose petals and will see if he can stop that, whatever it is, in its tracks.
Well, that explains why I have, like, a cucumber half chopped up in the kitchen.
So. That's 14, 18. Ooh. So 27 hit points of sleep on the one that is outside running down the steps.
All right, that is absolutely enough to make that particular were-rat collapse to the ground, its chin skidding against the cobblestones as he falls to the ground.
I hope this was truly necessary!
He says, down to no one in particular.
Corbin, you can finally, you're a little slow on the uptake for this particular strum. But you finally feel like you can react to the situation at hand.
Corbin moves up to the were-rat at the door and attempts to scruff him to stop him from fleeing. Have a 21?
You have scruffed yourself, your very own were-rat.
Zasper will survey the situation. Hey, Manny, we got were-rats. Grab a crate so we can stick them in something. And then he will turn and address the one whose tail he's stepping on.
Eek! 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 Eek!
You should just calm down. We, the Trollsband Hoteliers Consortium, have a no-rat policy. However, the Scarecrow Smashing Lads are actually relatively open-minded. So, if you honestly came here for work, you shouldn't have anything to fear from us. If you ate part of our hotel, I don't know. You have to fix it, I guess? Yeah. I'm attempting to persuade them that, you know, in line with our actions, we're not trying to kill them per se, but we're not necessarily happy either. So my attempt to persuasion comes in at a 16. I point my rapier not at their face.
Okay. Manny. What do you feel about this?
I start looking around for a crate and see that there has, for some reason, been a crate of cucumbers delivered here. I'm just gonna...
Who knows why?
Pour them out onto one of the countertops and bring it around to lock up the ones who are more actively trying to flee.
Okay.
And then I sit on it. I've got a 4.
Okay.
Turns out...
Why did you put me in a crate, Manny?
Rats can go right through the holes on the side of the milk crate.
The rat twists and struggles and fights like a cat not wanting to be put into a carrier, and you are unable to get it into the crate.
I put the crate on the one who's still halfling size.
They're all still halfling size.
Well, sure, the conscious one. I'm like, well, it's like hanging off his head. That didn't really work.
Right. Fair enough. All right, so one were-rat is going to try to get away from Portland. Don't worry about it. You beat him on the bones. And the other one's going to try to get away from Zasper.
Who has disadvantage for a crate being on his head?
But it sounds like that's sufficient to keep him corralled. And I'll give him a significant look. Like, you want to take this to a conversation?
Okay. The rat stops struggling for the moment. It's like, you're standing on my tail! That hurts!
Well, revert back to a halfling form.
Oh, I was so panicked I didn't think about that. He reverts back to a halfling form. The tail disappears from under your boot, and he goes running towards the door.
I grab him by the scruff of his shirt.
Can you?
I got
can I also take an AOO?
Yeah, and doesn't he still have a crate on his head?
Yes.
So I just grabbed the crate.
Made it up to a 9. You guys need to fight.
I defeat a 9 on any skill check.
Yep.
Okay, fine. So you grab him again. You grab him by the arm or something. That's less likely to be lost in transformation.
Would you want to try this again?
Ah, don't kill us! And you have a whole, well, two screaming, crying, shrieking, halfling rats.
We're not trying to kill you.
Ah! They still seem pretty panicked. Malagar was terrifying.
I believe it's my turn. Malagar will quickly arrange to restrain at least the one that Corbin is holding, which is something that he has a talent at.
Fair.
So that's what he does in his turn, is, you know, produces a few short lengths of silk rope and proceeds to bind up the one that Corbin's holding.
I didn't think use rope was still a skill, but damn.
If you practice long enough at something.
Doesn't look like this is the first time you've tied up a shape changer.
You have to be a lot more assertive about it.
Kafra continues leaning over the edge of the parapet, kind of being like, so what's going on?
Why won't anyone tell me what's going on?
And then Kafra will remember to reach back onto his mantle and pull a drag over the copper wire and bring it up and be like, Corbin, what the hell is going on? You can reply to this message.
What? Huh? Oh, right. There are were-rats here. Corbin heads outside and scoops up the sleeping were-rat on the steps.
Okay. Aww.
Carries it back inside.
So the two older ladies, well, middle-aged ladies that had been drinking tea and watching the halflings dance are like sitting on the porch stoop with cups of tea raised about halfway to their mouths going, ah, and making very surprised faces at you.
I smile and wave at them happily as I scoop up the were-rat.
Fair. They don't seem to react.
So, shall we start again?
Please don't kill.
Malagar. He's our hiring manager. He's very scary, but he's fair. Why don't you introduce yourself honestly, and we'll see how it goes.
We'll prop them up in chairs after I've tied them both. Well, all three of them up, really, and we'll...
Four.
Oh, did we catch the fourth one as well?
Two got slept.
Corbin is very thorough.
How excellent. And we'll just sort of set them up group interview style as we sit on the other side.
Kafra will, after seeing Corbin take the other one in, will set his spell components back about himself, take off the face peel, and get back into proper clothes and head back downstairs.
Manny's going to go over and stand up, close the door, and stand kind of with his back to it.
As you close the door, Doyle walks in with his tail broken and half chopped off, tail crooked to the side, looking entirely too pleased with himself.
Mm-hmm. We'll have a talk with you later. Yes, you cat.
Like, those guys have way more hit dice than the cat.
So anyone want to fill me in on what in bloody hell is going on out here?
That's what we're getting started on.
Great.
So, these fine people had come here and seek employment. They turned out to be were-rats. There was a bit of a commotion. They tried to leave the interview, but we have, of course, hadn't finished it yet. So we're going to complete the interview, yes?
Yes.
Yes? Yes? Good.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about yourselves.
My name really is Kelso.
Okay, that's good. That's a good start. And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Probably digging out of a trash can.
But what about all this food service experience? Is that mostly just on the waste disposal end of things?
No, I mean, my mom taught me how to cook.
I see. And what about this experience you spoke of at some of the nicer restaurants in town?
I've gone through a lot of really good dumpsters.
Oh, so you know a lot about the quality of their ingredients and where they're procuring them from.
Sorta.
A skill set like that might be valuable to a small startup operation like ourselves. Have you ever thought about that?
He looks exasperated. Is he gonna kill us?
No. I think he's either going to hire you or take advantage of your regenerative properties for a long-term low food cost.
That's true.
I vote that you aim towards the first one.
Also
noted. The direction this interview has taken has been noted by the crowd.
Also, we don't kill anyone until after we put them on the performance improvement plan. As spelled out in the employee manual, which if you had read, you would know.
How can you have
hired them yet?
Well,
that's just a sheaf of blank papers, Malagar.
Oh, we did sketch out a few things on it.
Well, that's, yes.
Malagar, that paper very says fast. Performance improvement plan and death. With a line connecting them.
Listen, I had to start somewhere. This is the standard drow employment plan, so... We can talk about the details later.
Okay.
Are you the ones who ate through our floorboard on the stairs?
Oh, that's true.
Just be honest.
No, we did not eat through your floorboards.
So was the hole there to begin with, is what you're saying?
No.
Have you not been living in our hotel for a while?
No. They look at each other super confused when you ask that. No?
Well, then that is interesting, isn't it? Do we believe them is actually our third question.
Let me check. You may roll dice if you choose, but given your native insight levels, yes, you all believe them.
Okay.
Was it creatures that you summoned that ate through our floorboards? Or controlled?
Summon? Control? They look at each other.
I don't think that's in their skill
set. Oh, good lord, y'all are asking the wrong question. Did you four have anything to do with the hole that showed up in our upstairs?
There's a lot of silence in answer to that.
Oh, maybe they used hand tools. You probably want to answer this one.
We might have talked to some of the local rats about making holes.
So you hired someone else to make the hole for you?
Wow. I mean, we gave them some good dumpster meat.
Delegation. This is something that I like to see.
Why?
They start, you know, looking at their shoes. One of them looks at the ceiling. Another one looks at her cuticles.
Were you hired by someone else?
Oh, no. Nope. That's not. Nope.
How would you...
Who were you hired by?
There's a lot of high-pitched squeaking and unhappy looks.
How would you like to make more money? And live?
One of the female halflings, we're big fans of both money and also continued living.
Good. Then you should start by being plain with your previous experience. We'd probably like to talk to them about and get a reference, really.
How much are you going to pay us?
I think we should discuss compensation at the end of this, shouldn't we? Because of that second element I spoke of.
They start hemming and hawing, but it looks like they're extremely unwilling to answer the question.
Okay, well, we should probably just make an example of one of them then and see if the rest break.
Male or female? Yes. I'd say pulling out my longsword.
Koffer, which one do you think looks most delicious?
Well, I've never actually eaten halflings.
Well, yeah, think of them as large, succulent rats.
I've never eaten rats either.
Come now, we're among friends.
I don't know what you're implying.
All right.
The loin is a good cut.
However, I do have this polyhedral. I'll just say that's the first one, and that's the fourth one, and...
Man.
Third one, apparently it is.
Very well.
Solve a lot of problems.
I walk up to Danica.
Okay. Her face is white.
So, this is probably your last opportunity to tell us something. How about this? Whoever tells us is the one that gets to live.
Okay. So, with that, Bryn says, we got paid 50 gold pieces to wreck your business.
By whom?
Can you pay us more than 50 gold pieces to go away? You said you would.
What about extended employment? Or is that not something that you're actually interested in?
Extended employment to do what?
Well, you just mentioned all your experience in food prep and sourcing.
That sounds like hard work.
Oh, is that not what you're interested in?
Not particularly, no.
All right, then.
Well, before you kill the other three, could you at least lay down like a tarp or something?
That's a good point.
We just mopped that floor.
I go walk over and get a tarp and begin laying it down beneath the stools.
You'll want to set up some like walls too, because it doesn't just go down.
Good thinking, Manny.
Right.
Kafra goes and makes sure that the door is in fact locked, mm-hmm. and that if there's any kind of anything going on there, that there's like a curtain or something where it's not like, oh, I'm coming in for my bubble bear.
Horton continues setting up a kill box, functionally attempting to intimidate them to give us the name.
I'll start dragging the three who didn't talk over into it.
It's actually a shame that they're not interested in employment. This could go a lot smoother.
Kelso
says, well, we don't need employment. We're a gang. We do our own gang thing. We're the Shard Shunners, you know?
So who hired you?
Will you let us go if we tell you?
Of course.
You promise?
I promise.
He looks at the sigil on your chest. Like, even if you're not in armor, I still picture you wearing, like, property of Kellenbore Athletics t-shirt. You know, with, like, the sleeves cut off.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Sleeves are bullshit.
Yeah, especially if you got guns like those! He says, you promise? And he kind of points at the symbol on your sweatshirt.
As a paladin of Kellenbore, on my word, I promise that if you tell us who sent you, you will all go free.
Like,
and actually tell us who sent you. Like, not like a lie.
Go free like now or go free in like 60 years?
Now.
It was.
If you promise to leave us alone and never report back to your employer.
Okay, sure. We'll just steal his money. I was like, he was awful anyway. Yeah, well, he didn't tell us he was suing up against these people.
Have the discussion later.
So, Kelso says, it was this halfling guy named Froon, Emic Froon. He wanted us to sabotage your business.
He's the one who tried to come and buy our establishment. I told him to hit sand.
And he was spreading lies about us with the neighbors.
What kind of lies?
That we were already selling, and it was basically a done deal.
Okay, so it sounds like he was trying to make our business something worth selling at a lower price then.
I think he was trying to lay the groundwork for...
But didn't you say that he owns like a brewery down the road?
Yeah, so he probably just wants us out of business, or...
Well, perhaps we should trade a little tit for tat. That'd be a mighty shame if something were to happen to his stills while nobody was looking.
You're just looking for free stills.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not looking for free stills.
Let's have this discussion when the contractor's out of the room, okay? So,
sure.
So this works, and it sounds like he wanted to put us out of business or reduce our overall value.
I didn't ask what the guy wanted. I mean, I don't care what he wants. He gave us 50 gold to come in here and see if we could rat up your place.
Okay, well, you've done
we figured if we were hired here, you know, we could leave crumbs out for the local rats.
Oh.
And convince them to scamper across and... Maybe get rid of that stupid cat, says one of them, through gritted teeth.
Mm. How big of a cat would it take to really deter you?
I don't know. That orange one you got is really mean.
Okay. Well,
so, of course, Kafra's by the door, and Doyle is, like, walking around between his legs and purring, and he looks up at you and kind of closes his eyes and does the silent meow. And
Kafra will scoop up Doyle and apply patents as he maintains overwatch by the door.
Like, you know, he rolls over on his back, he's making swimmy paws in the air, he's purring, like, his claws are, like, that, like, 2 inches long. Definitely sharp.
Well, I don't know if there's anything else useful we can get out of these. It's kind of disappointing that they live a thug life, but... And you are where you're pretty close to just getting gibbed right now, right? Mm. Yeah.
Gives you a ratty, weak, ratty smile.
I don't know.
You should be cautious, and I reach down and begin untying them.
They stand frozen in panic, kind of looking at Kafra and Doyle by the door.
Wait, this wasn't a I'll release you to your eternal reward type of thing?
I don't have any reason to kill them if they're going to leave us alone. It is, they have given us valuable information.
Carver just looks stunned.
Yeah, leave and don't dock on that door again.
But steps away and opens the door.
There's a mass clatter of were-rats going out into the street. Like, they go from full, like, hybrid form, morphing into rat-wise, full rat-wise form, as they are running down the stairs. Like, the first two stairs, they take on halfling, well, hybrid feet, and then by the time they hit the bottom stairs, they're on all 4 feet, and they scatter into 4 different directions, going into sewers. And standing out in the middle of the road, alley out there, you see Emmett Croon, the halfling, gesturing animatedly at a watch commander who's pointing at all the rats. The watchman looks at the were-rats that have scampered into the sewers, kind of looks around the neighborhood, looks at the halfling standing at his side, and then looks at you and scratches his beard.
Zasper will walk outside.
Corbin will walk directly towards them.
Mm-hmm. I let Corbin take the lead because he's bigger.
Man, he's definitely got to stay back towards the doors a little ways.
Kaffer is staying by the door with Doyle.
What is Malagar doing?
Malagar will hang back as well. Actually, no, he'll advance with Corbin.
So I see Corbin, Zasper, and Malagar walking out of the inn, framed by the light of the inn door.
But friendly-like.
Into the alley where you see Emmett Froon, your halfling business rival, gesturing animatedly at this watchman. And I feel like the battle without honor or humanity should be playing in the background, but there's no way in hell we're going to get a license for it. So the watchman scratches his chin and says, we have a complaint about were-rats in the neighborhood, and I swear I just saw a packet of them run out of your inn. The halfling standing next to him jumps in fast and says, Yeah, I told you there was a bunch of were-rats there. This place is a health hazard.
Your name, officer?
My name is Barnabas Blastwind. Perhaps you recall from the Kenku thing over in the dock ward a few days ago.
Yes. Well, you may have met us there in our capacity as the Scarecrow Smashing Lads. But here, we are my name is Zasper, and we are the Trollsbane Hoteliers Consortium. And we have acquired this property, and we're going to turn it into a wonderful inn and bar called Spirits. However, we have run into this small, very small, little bump in the road where there's this little, very small little person that's trying to... I'm not sure if he's jealous that we have an awesome hotel with an awesome name, but he basically hired some really clueless were-rats to be our fry cooks, and of course we turn them right out because we know that hiring lycanthropes is against guild policy.
So a health hazard.
Yes. So I'm not sure if we have the paperwork, but if you wanted to just cuff him and bring him in, that would probably be fine. You'll have your opportunity to talk to the magistrate, sir.
There was all kinds of were-rats running out. This is a health hazard.
Your rights,
I was telling you,
by fraternizing with the enemy.
In front of Zasper and in front of Emmett Croon, please. Those were were-rats, yes?
Yeah, I mean...
And they ran out of your establishment?
Absolutely they did, in fear of their lives.
And you have a license, guild license, to operate an inn here?
Well, we're not operating an inn, so they won't give us a license. But once we're ready to go, we have all the paperwork.
We're in the process of making repairs to the inn. We recently acquired the property. Mm-hmm. We are also in process of getting the appropriate paperwork from the inn, from the guild.
At that, Emmett Croon says, see, I told you they were running without a license. They've just been doing this. They're trying to operate without a guild license.
Over at the door, Manny leans over to Coffer and says, 5 copper says that somebody gets thrown in jail tonight.
Wait. Do you think it's going to be Zasper?
Ooh. Okay, 10 on Zasper.
I'll take that bet.
So this Froon fellow is wasting our time by lying to you right in front of him. He literally just said that we were operating without a license, and anyone with two eyes in their head can see we have not even hung our shingle yet.
The watch officer scratches his beard again and says, well, this place has not had a license in a very long time. And as I understand it, if it's going to be cleared for any sort of human habitation, it's going to need to have that cleared sooner rather than later, because what Emic had called up the watch to say is that if you're going to operate this place as an inn, that's fine. However, if you're repairing it for sale or other purposes, there are additional guild fees which will be levied to... which are large. Which means if this is going to be an inn, it's going to need to be an inn soon. Before his paperwork to have the building condemned goes through my department because of the were-rats.
Paperwork?
I can't not tell the watch I just saw a bunch of were-rats bust out of here.
Well, of course, you're going to do your job.
We would never ask you to do otherwise.
Which means... if this is not an inn by the time my paperwork gets through, sanitation will come through here. Because we can't have were-rats in the city. We just can't. Their bite is contagious. None of you were bitten, were you?
No.
Mm-mm. We have a cat on premises.
That'll take care of were-rats?
But you saw them fleeing for their lives. It wasn't for my feeble arms.
Like, Doyle is, like, still in Coffer's arms on his back, like, doing swimmy paws and...
Does Froon have a cat on premises?
Froon's like, I have several, actually.
Uh-huh.
I am rather a feline pup.
Well, thank you for bringing this to our attention, officer.
I think it'll take as long as 72 hours to get my paperwork through, if you take what I mean.
I do. I thank you, officer.
Yes, we appreciate...
Bruce's like, hey, are you tipping them off? This is corruption. This is corruption in the watch.
Isn't it, though?
The watch would never do... Only does honest things within their power. Good sir, officer. Could you take a moment...
Glasswind.
Barnabas. Could you please turn and regard the sunset for a second? It's quite beautiful. Just look over that way. It's perfectly fine.
He eyeballs Zasper, Corbin, and Malagar super suspiciously. I trust I'm not going to regret this.
Of course not.
He sighs, turns around, and regards the last few
kick
ways.
I kick the stupid halfling in the balls. And then I stand back. See? It was a beautiful sunset.
All right, so first of all, I'm going to need an attack roll. All
right. I have expertise at ball kicking.
Nope. Back up at the stool. Oh, yeah. Definitely Zasper.
I intercede on the halfling's behalf. You have disadvantage.
On what?
This is a bad idea.
All right. Well, that's going to...
The defensive fight.
Yes,
or
I use my protection style to give you disadvantage. Because this is a bad idea.
All right.
If you don't make connection, you'll just scare him and it'll be fine.
I had a perfect beat on it, but I got thrown off by the protection style of my companion. It was a warning kick.
Emic Froon scampers out of the way. Hey, he tried to attack. That's assault. The officer, of course, turns around rapidly and looks at you and says, really?
I'm a professional adventurer, sir. If I wish to do him violence, he would be on the ground.
He
did not
better.
Lay a hand on him.
No, I expect better. That's assault. And do you know what the fine for assaulting a citizen is? Nick Froons is like, I'm going to tell you what the fine for assaulting a citizen is.
And?
I like how we actually have the laws. We're like, wait, which one do we do? Fuck.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I believe, if I remember correctly... it's imprisonment up to a 10-day, flogging and damages up to 1,000 gold pieces. Luckily, Emic Froon only hired the were-rats for 50 gold pieces, so I imagine he still has the funds necessary.
Emmick's like, I didn't hire anybody. What can you prove? The cop turns around and says, do you have proof of this?
No, but I know it to be true. I turn to Emmick Froom and say, if you continue down this path, you will regret it in this life or the next. I turn and walk away.
The cop looks at Zasper and says, you assaulted a citizen. You asked me to turn around while you assaulted a citizen right next to me.
I mean,
are you trying to get me fired? Or are you just trying to piss me off? Clarify a little bit so I understand whether
you
imprison you or just think you're an asshole.
I didn't assault anyone.
You assaulted that guy right there in front of me.
Go
back to the inn.
There
get out of the
a,
street.
There
get
Zasper.
Out of the street.
There Zasper, was a fly.
Zasper, I think.
And besides, you didn't see anything.
I think
no
you've
saw
made
anything.
Your point. I think it's time to return.
All right. We're going to have drink specials on opening night. Feel free to swing by. We're always a friend of the watch. And I'll go back inside.
Here's a coupon.
So as Zasper starts to walk back towards the stoop.
Emmick Froom goes after the watch. I want to press assault charges because he tried to hit me. And the cop, he squeezes that spot on his nose kind of between his eyebrows. Like he's getting a really serious headache and says, sir, it's attempted assault, which is not actually illegal given the code legal. If you'd like to have a complaint, let's go and file one. I also think he was using magic because, I think he's a bard and you can't ever trust those people. They'll just use all that magic to mess with your mind.
I hadn't even thought of that. I turn it back around.
Stop.
I turn back. I go back inside.
As Zasper starts walking back towards the stoop, I'm going to kind of lean up from against the wall and say, Manny says, well, Zasper, how long they taking you in for? The night? The weekend?
No, Corbin had my back. It's probably true. It would have been a short-lived satisfaction.
Damn it, Corbin. And I hand in copper to Kafra.
But you guys were betting about whether I'd be in the slammer? It would just be good backstory for my art.
To be fair, Zasper, if you had laid a hand on him, you would have been arrested.
Yes, and then we'd be one man short for the 3 days we have to fix this place up.
No, I was way ahead of you. I was going to kick him with
Wait, the what?
So,
right.
Emmick Froon has reported us for having a health code violation. If the health code violation goes through before the our inn is actually established, the sanitation... I think he said this.
He just said sanitation.
Sanitation will need to get involved, and it could cause us to never open or lose the ability to ever open. So we're on a slightly enhanced timeline.
Oh, the gods. All these regulations are really starting to get to me.
True.
The two ladies that were sipping tea across the road are just, you can see they've moved up to wine and are like... And they're, sitting together and whispering. This is apparently a very exciting night.
They get the full Zasper smile, which, unlike Malagar's smile, that terrifies even, canthropes, charms, I don't know, at least 30% of the people that see it.
But we
make
know
an
we need
I
to
smile
have.
Charmingly roll.
We'll give it a 21.
All right. They're like, ah! it apparently causes a wave and a giggle.
So I think we need to buckle down a little bit. If we only have 72 hours to get the inn open, luckily our paperwork is already in order. Once we open, we'll just need to pay the guild. But we have several repairs to finish. They're not going to be able to approve us for opening until we have those repairs finished. We don't have a staff. Our kitchen isn't set up. Our still isn't set up.
Yes, we have a very long list of activities that we have to finish, so we should probably get to them. Like the second draft of the employee handbook that we should churn out before midnight.
Malagar.
What?
The core
of all hiring practices.
Malagar, we can just buy toilet paper. You don't need to make it so ornately. Well, I'm game. I'm on it.
We should split this up somehow. If we're going to do this, we're going to need a clear roadmap.
Listen, we don't need any sneaking roadmap. We're going to get this done.